Let's start the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we bless you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, for the food that nourishes our bellies, and we thank you for the spiritual food that you give from heaven from your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for each and every person here, and we thank you for allowing us to celebrate your feast here in your holy city in Jerusalem. We pray, Father, for your blessing in our study tonight, your Spirit to lead us to understand how we need to calculate the holy days. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you and we bless you. We pray for your kingdom to the earth as is in heaven, and we thank you for all these things in the name and by the authority of your Son, Yeshua Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, today, I'm not going to go very long because we do have papers downstairs. We also have biblical calendar books downstairs. But I just want to basically go into the premise of the start of the year. And what I find out is that over the years, I'm studying this now for about 25 years, that people are very zealous when it comes to the calendar, you know, of what they believe, whether it doesn't matter what part of it, the beginning of the year, the beginning of the month, they're very zealous. But when you actually sit and talk with them, they can't explain what they believe. So usually if I'm discussing with somebody about it, the first thing I'll ask them, well, how do you believe a year starts? You know, because we're not in year one. You know, we haven't gone so many million days and we're still in year one. We went from year one to year two, to year two to year three. And every year we change over to another year. So the first question you have to ask yourself is, how do you think it happens? Do you believe the Jewish calendar is right? And many people say, well, we go by the Jewish calendar. Well, do you know how the Jewish calendar is calculated? And most people have no idea. Most people have no idea that actually in the Jewish calendar, they even have postponement laws. That if the holy days fall on inconvenient days, they just postpone them. It's that simple. So if you are going by the Jewish calendar then the Jewish calendar believes that the equinox is the dividing of the land. I'll prove it to you tonight. I'm going to read it from the Jewish calendar itself. The difference with the Jewish calendar, though, is the Jewish calendar believes that Passover cannot be in the winter of the last year, but the first 13 days of the first month of Aviv can. And to me, that makes no sense whatsoever. How could 13 days of the new month be in the last year of the year before it? It makes no sense whatsoever. Now, to me, the only two ideas I've ever really heard is the equinox is the dividing of the year, which actually the Jewish calendar says it, they just don't go by it, which we go by the equinox. And the other way is a small percentage of people go by barley. And at first, that might sound, that sounds interesting, you know, that we need the barley, because we do need the barley for the wave sheaf ceremony. But when you just think about it logically, I'm a very logical person. Yahweh says, let us sit down and reason together. Israel only became a nation in 1445 BC. So how did the year start before that? How did Adam start his year? How did Noah start his year? Because when the flood was with Noah, it tells us he goes into the ark the 17th day of the first month. He comes out the 17th day of the seventh month. So there's a calendar and there's times and there's months, and he's on an ark. There's no barley. He's not even in the land of Israel. So when you really think about it, barley is not really a consideration. It's actually ridiculous to think a worldwide calendar would start by how barley grows in Israel. And the other thing is, who's deciding if it's growing or not? I tell people to go by some of the barley hunters here. There's an anti-missionary Jewish man that looks for the barley. And I met this man. I know him personally. And I said, how much barley do you need to call it a beef? As much as I can hold in my hand. So people are going by this. The barley, they said there's barley in Israel, without even knowing, is that 1%, 5%, 10%, 20%? So that's why I say that most people will argue with you with the calendar, and they really have no idea what they're talking about. So I want to go through a very, very simple basis of Scripture. What Scripture says about the calendar. Because there's nowhere in Scripture, absolutely zero, that you could come up with barley. Nothing. There's one Scripture that says, when the sickle hits the standing grain, right, you start your count to Shavuot. But that's already at least 15 to 20 days after the year began. It doesn't tell you when the year begins. It's just telling you about the count to Shavuot. And of course, if you start your year after the vernal equinox, you will always have barley for your holy day. So it's a very simple way that Yahweh has it. Anybody that's on the earth, it doesn't matter where you live, you could know the day of the equinox. Why? Because the days as we know it, going up to the equinox, the shadows, they either get longer or they get shorter, depending on the time of the year. Now they're getting shorter. Why? Because we're going into the winter months. After the equinox, they'll start getting longer. But the day of the equinox, there isn't a shadow. So Wilco actually gave us a few years ago, I don't know if you have it with you, a paper sundial. That anybody on the earth, it's very, very simple to know the day. Number one, it's only a one-day leeway anyway. It always happens around the 21st or 22nd of March, and anybody can know it's the day that's not the shadow there. So it's very simple, you know. Like I said, I can almost stop the Bible study there if for people in our congregation, that you simply wait for the equinox, and then the first new moon after the equinox is the first month of the year. You know, there's not much to it. I don't have to give you 14-hour videotapes. Years ago when I was studying this, I'm watching these 14 hours, 20 hours of videotapes, all this degree of this. It's much, much more simpler than that. So let's go into some of these scriptures, because again, it's very odd when you think the Romans start the year in the middle of winter in January, you know, also starting the day at midnight. Very odd things. It just doesn't seem practical or seem functional to it. But Exodus 12 and verse 2 tells us, this month, Aviv, shall be the chief of months to you. It shall be the first of the months of the year to you. So it's the month is the beginning of the year, not the day of Passover. Passover is the 14th day of this month. So again, and I'm going to read you a little later in this study, very clearly that from their own writings in the Talmud, they say you cannot start the year before the equinox, because you'd be starting the year in the old. Now, how do they run into this problem? The problem with the Jewish calendar is, even though right here it's very clear that Aviv is the beginning of months to you, which is April, right, according to the Roman calendar, the Jews actually start their year in the seventh month. Now, Tishri. So they start the year in the seventh month. So before it happens, they count in the seventh month. And that's why they call Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah in the Bible is the Feast of Trumpets, which we know. But the Jews don't call it the Feast of Trumpets. What do they call it? Rosh Hashanah. What does Rosh Hashanah mean? The head of the year. It's not Rosh Hashanah. It's not the head of the year. It's Yom Teruah. It's the day of clamoring or the day of blowing of trumpets. So what they do is they look at what day that happens beforehand, and then they count back the calendar to see when Passover is. And as long as Passover is past the equinox, they'll start the year. If Passover is before the equinox, they add a month. So they're back channeling it, and like I said, it is absolutely absurd if you believe that Aviv is the beginning of months, that you would start that month 12 days in the old year. So like I said, anybody who believes in the Jewish calendar, you have to believe in the equinox, because the Jewish calendar goes by the equinox. And again, I'm more than happy to hear other ways of calculating how the year begins, but the only two I've ever heard in 25 years is the equinox, which I believe I'll show you scripture says, and barley. And like I said, barley is just too arbitrary. You know, who's out there looking at the barley? You want to know something? The barley that grows in the south in Israel down in the desert can be ripe a month or 6 weeks before the barley in the north. And people that go to the scripture in Exodus, right, when they're saying that the barley was smitten by the hail, but the wheat wasn't because it was still in the ear. The barley harvest in Egypt is actually in February. So you can't even go by that. It's a whole different harvest. It happens. I've had people tell me that because in Arizona there wasn't barley, you can't start the year yet. And like I say, I shake my head and say, you've been in diaspora too long. You got to come home. It's not barley anywhere else. The agriculture is here. And as we'll see, Genesis 1:14, Elohim said, let luminaries, the lights, in the expanse of the heaven, to divide between the day and the night, right? And let them be for signs and for seasons, and that word is moed, the holy days, and for days and years, right? So it's very simple. Nothing about barley. Barley does not divide the year. What divides the year is the sun, the moon, and the stars. And what's interesting, beside the fact of just the equinox, right? The equinox is literally, it's not when there's equal days and equal nights. It's when the sun passes the equator. It's roughly equal days and equal nights if you're close to the equator. If you're a little bit off, it could be a little bit different. But it's not only the changing of the season that way from the hemispheres, but also in here, when you're looking at the sun, the moon, and the stars, there's something called the precession of the equinoxes, which is the 12 constellations on the ecliptic circle and how the sun moves in a different constellation every 30 days. And when it comes back around, and the precession of the equinoxes and the day of the equinox are virtually the same time, just a matter of hours apart, so you have two heavenly celestial signs there. You literally have the sun passing the equator, which the Bible calls Tekufa, a full revolution of the sun, and you also have the sun going through all 12 constellations and coming back. Josephus tells us in the book of Josephus, his writings, that now that the sun is in the constellation of Aries, the new year can begin. So there it is, very simple. It's not that hard. You know, you could see, if you go throughout the year, you could see every month the sun is changing into a different constellation. So when the equinox happens, the sun passes the equator, now it's not winter anymore, now it's summer. Very simple. So doesn't it make sense that you can't start a new year in the winter? Except maybe if you live down under, then maybe it's opposite, right? But it's the same thing. You still can't start your year. It depends on the changing of the season as we see here. So it's the sun, the moon, and the stars, not barley. Nothing about barley starting the year, the luminaries. Psalm 104 in verse 19, he made the moon for seasons, Moedim, the sun knows it's going down. So the month starts by the new moon. Psalm 81 in verse 3, the feast of Yom Teruah, blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the covered moon on our feast day. The new moon is the covered moon. The word is kesed. It's literally the word they use when you put a lid on top of a garbage can. It's completely covered. So again, not a crescent, which again, because of the way that the rotation goes, the crescent some months can be 6 or 7 hours after conjunction. Some months it can be 70 hours. So you could be 3 days into the moon cycle and they're only seeing the crescent then, which makes no sense whatsoever. The new moon is the covered moon. That's the scripture. And again, show me one scripture that ever says the new moon is the crescent moon, or to visually sight a crescent. Some people like to go to Deuteronomy 16:1, where it says, observe the month of Aviv. But it's talking about, same as observe the Sabbath. And we don't go and visually sight the Sabbath. And this is why I say, learn Yahweh's pattern, because once you know his pattern, he never changes. I am Yahweh, I change not. Right? And how does Yahweh calculate time? In the beginning was darkness, and then light came from darkness. The day starts in the darkness, and then there's light. The month starts in the darkness, and then there's light after that. The year starts at the equinox, when there's no shadow, darkness, and even life starts in darkness. That's the way Yahweh has it. The time starts in darkness. So once you know his pattern doesn't change. And that's the key to all of this. Understand the pattern, and the pattern is the same. Now when we get into the holy days, Exodus 34 and verse 22. You shall observe a feast of weeks for yourself, the first fruits of the harvest of wheat, also the feast of ingathering. We were just talking about this today. After the turn of the year, and the word in Hebrew is Tekufa. So you cannot have the Feast of Ingathering or the Feast of Sukkot till after the turn of the year. Why? Because the other scripture that tells us that the Feast of Ingathering is at the going out of the year, I mentioned this before, how can it be the going out of the year? It's only the seventh month. It's the agricultural year. The growing season in Israel starts now. This is the early rains. It starts in October, November. You know, and this is the planting season, at least anyway. And the growing season goes from Aviv until September or so, September, October. So your growing season, it's the going out of the agricultural year. So now what happens? At the end of the agricultural year, you're taking all your harvest fruits, you're bringing them up to Jerusalem, you're having a good time, and as soon as the feast is over, what are you doing? You're going home, you're fallowing your ground, and you're starting to plant for next year. So the agricultural season ends at this time. So that's why it's saying going out at the end of the year, the agricultural year. But when it says to observe it, okay, the Feast of the Gathering after the turn of the year, why does it say that? Because your crops will not be ready before that. It's that simple. And if you start your year before the vernal equinox, then what does that tell you? It tells you in the fall, you're going to be too early another month. And it happens all the time this way, you know, that you'll see. I think it was 3 years ago when it might have even been 4 years ago, where the Jews were keeping the calendar, and they kept it so early that their Sukkot was the end of August and beginning of September. And they usually do the changing of the clocks at Yom Kippur. And the people were real angry because they felt like they lost half their summer. You know, here it is, it's still August, and they're keeping Sukkot already. And they changed the law since then. Matter of fact, Saturday night, we'll be changing our clocks. I'll remind you, you'll get an extra hour sleep. So even if it's psychological, it's still an extra hour. But if you were here at that time, you're saying to yourself, how can you be keeping Sukkot here? It's only September 6 or September 7. Number one, it's before the turning of the year, which Scripture says. Plus, just look around. There was no harvest. There's no pomegranates. There's no dates. There's no olives. Nothing is ready. And it's not just a matter of being ready. You have to harvest it. And again, it's going to take weeks to harvest and then another week to come up to Sukkot. And that's why I read in the beginning that it's after the harvest. After you bring in the harvest, that's when the holy day is. So it's always going to be later instead of earlier, because you don't only need time to let the fruits mature, you need time to pick them and harvest them and then bring them up to Jerusalem. So Exodus 34:22, you shall observe a feast of weeks for yourself, the first fruits of the harvest a week. Also the feast of ingathering after the turn of the year, after the tekufah. So if you're keeping the feast before the tekufah, before the equinox, you know it's wrong, period. And many years the Jews do that. You know, the barley people, they have no rhyme or reason. It's just if barley isn't ripe. They told me if there's barley in February, they'd start the year in February. So like I said, I don't really give too much credence to the barley, because it just absolutely makes no sense. And the other thing is, and I know all the people who come here to look for barley, a few of them are my friends and very, very good people and honest people. They never agree with each other. So you got worldwide, you got three or four different groups coming here looking for barley who are the experts, and every year they argue with each other. One says there's barley, one says they're not, because there's no parameter in Scripture to tell us that the barley is the start of the year, so they all have their own parameter, and it's always different. The word for turning of the year in Hebrew is tekufah. The word actually means a revolution of the sun. This happens twice a year. Once when the sun passes the equator from the southern hemisphere to the northern hemisphere in spring, and again when it passes back to the other side of the earth from the northern hemisphere back to the southern hemisphere between September 21 and 23 each year. So again, like I said, very, very simple. Everyone can understand. You don't start Monday in the middle of Sunday. You don't start January in the middle of December. When it comes to time, one period has to end, a new period has to start. Because if you overlap time, your whole calendar is going to be messed up. It's just like now, we have 24 hours in a day, right? And that 24 hours keeps a constant in our calendar. What if you started changing your watch, like at 10 o'clock at night, you started putting it to midnight? You know, and then the next month you started changing it from, you know, 11:30 and putting it in. Before you know it, your whole management of time is all incorrect. You cannot overlap time like that. So you have to wait for one time to end for the other time to begin. Leviticus 23:10, speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, when you come into the land which I have given to you and have reaped its harvest, and have brought in the Omer, the beginning of the harvest, to the priest. So it's again, after you come into the land, and then after you reap the harvest. And this is why, for today, most people are not harvesting grain. They're not harvesting barley. So it's all a psychological thing. And they're just looking you know, whatever. You might be looking on a NASA website or whatever, and you're not taking into account if it was an actual thing and we were really planting, that you have to give time to harvest the plant and also to bring it up. And like I said, throughout Israel, the harvest is different no matter where you go. Matter of fact, that's why it's very interesting. I'm not going to go there. But if you look in the book of Kings, when it's talking about King... The first king of Israel, when Israel split with Judah,
Jeroboam.
When Jeroboam is king of the north, right, where is his headquarters? It's up in Tel Dan. That's all the way up on the Syrian border. So King Jeroboam doesn't want the people to come to Jerusalem for the feast because he's thinking if they come to Jerusalem, he's going to wind up losing them, and then maybe they'll kill him. So what does he do? He sets the feast a month later. Now, why does he set the feast a month later? Because, like I said, down in the south, the harvest is earlier. Way in the north, it's a month later. So he's playing into the psyche of the people that may have to leave before their harvest is completely ready. And he's saying, why go down and maybe lose part of your harvest? You might as well stay here. We'll do the feast a month later, and then you'll have all your things. You know? So even from a logical standpoint, you could see why some of these things were made. So again, even though it's not a big country here in Israel, harvest-wise, it is very different. And when you're looking at that, you would have to go throughout the country and seeing where the harvest is. But clearly we see here that it has to be after the harvest is when it starts. Deuteronomy 16:13, you shall perform the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in from your grain floor and from your wine press. So again, Sukkot has to be after the harvest. It would be inconceivable in Bible days that the people would leave their harvest on the trees all over the land, come to Jerusalem with no fruits, and then for the 2 weeks it takes to get here and back in the weeks of the feast, they're going to go home and all their fruit is rotted on the ground. It's inconceivable that it would happen that way. So logically, you could see they have to harvest it first, then they come up to Jerusalem, then they keep the feast, and it would be more later than earlier. Exodus 23 and verse 14. 3 times in the year you make a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you at the set time of the month of Aviv. For in it you came out of Egypt, and they shall not appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. Also the feast of ingathering, after the going out of the year, at the gathering your work from the field. So this is after the growing season is over, and after they gather it. That's why it's the feast of ingathering. And then they come up to Jerusalem. So it certainly would never, ever, ever, under any circumstance, be in the end of August or beginning of September. It just, the season would be off, way too off for that to happen. Exodus 13 and verse 10. You shall therefore keep this ordinance, the Passover, in his season from year to year. The season is spring, not winter. And that's why do the Jewish people say you cannot keep the Passover before the vernal equinox? Because they say you can't keep two Passovers in the same year. So like I said, the Jewish people admit that the equinox is the changing of the year. Their only difference is that they're willing to take 12 days or 13 days of Aviv and start it in the old year and overlap the 2 months, which makes no sense. I'm going to read you here from the Talmud where it says this. It says, should the Tekufa of Temez extend till after the Sukkot festival, or the Tekufa of Tebeth till the 16th of Nisan, which is Aviv, the year will be intercalated, so that the festivals might fall in their season. Passover in spring, Sukkot in autumn. That comes from Sanhedrin 11b. So they say it right in their own writings. They're saying that if the holy day would fall before the equinox, you have to intercalate a year so that they fall in their seasons. The modern Jewish calendar they're using today, another thing that people don't realize is, it is not the calendar that was used during the days of Yeshua. During the days of Yeshua, this is clearly documented in Josephus in the historical writings. During the days of Yeshua, you had the Sadducees and you had the Pharisees. Pharisees were not priests. The Sadducees were the priests. The Sadducees ran the temple. And when the Sadducees ran the temple, they always started to count to Shavuot on the first day of the week, not after the holy day. And they always never started the year before the vernal equinox. After the temple was destroyed, in the diaspora, Hillel II, in 358 AD, he starts the modern Jewish calendar, and that's when some of these things change. So, you know, with the Jewish calendar today, certainly it is the calendar of diaspora. I'm not mocking them or saying, you know, in diaspora they're trying to do the best they can, but it is certainly not the biblical calendar, and they do not take anything into account of harvest. Because they're in diaspora. The harvest didn't matter at that point. They were trying to make a calculated calendar that's the easiest for the Jewish people, that they would not lose their holy days, not knowing how long they were going to be in diaspora. Deuteronomy 11:11, it says, "But the land which you are entering to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, drinking water from the rains of heaven, a land which Yahweh your Elohim cares for. The eyes of Yahweh your Elohim are constantly on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year." Circular pattern. Everything runs in a circular pattern. And that's the Tekufa, the circuit of the sun, from equinox to equinox. Here's a historical record from the Anti-Nicene Fathers, volume 6, page 280. It says, "Peter, the bishop of Alexandria, mentions that the Jews had kept the Passover properly up to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 CE. This is why I said, up to the destruction of the temple, the Sadducees ran it, and they always started after the equinox. But after the destruction of the city, they err in reckoning the beginning of the month, which is first among the months of the year, on the 14th day of which, being accurately observed after the equinox, the ancients celebrated the Passover according to the divine command. Whereas the men of the present day now celebrate it before the equinox." So this is one of the most ancient writings that we have. And he is clearly saying it from 70 AD. This change happened before the destruction of the temple. It's always after the equinox. And now today in their time, it's before the equinox. Also, we have the Elephantine letters of the Jews in diaspora in Egypt. These are letters that they found of the Jews that did not go to Babylon, that went to Egypt. Now, this is, like I said, Solomon's Temple is destroyed in 573 BC. The Jews come back to Israel in 539, 70 years after the first attack by the Babylonians. And these letters are from 471 to 401. They're 70 years, right around the time of the destruction of the temple. Just one or two generations after the temple. So people, some of the people even probably would have seen the temple or had a grandfather that saw the temple. And these are letters are written. And this is what it says about these Elephantine letters. It says, "Many of these legal documents include the required Egyptian civil date." So every document must have the Egyptian date. "But it is double dated, including the Hebrew dates." Every single letter has both dates, from 471 BC to 402. This included evening to evening days, right? Not morning to morning, but evening to evening days, and a new year beginning in Aviv only after the vernal equinox. Almost all the datable documents can be referred back to Aviv beginning only after the vernal equinox each year. And this is coming from Kenneth Dogg, New Testament Chronology, Lewistown, Mellon Press, 1990. So very, very clearly that this isn't something that is that far removed from the very time of the first temple. And they clearly say it over 70 years, hundreds and hundreds of documents that we have today, that they found them and we have them. And every single one is double dated to the Egyptian date and the Hebrew date only after the vernal equinox. So, wow, how much more history do we need to know? The Bible says you can't start before the Tekufa. This shows us over here that's exactly what they were doing. The historical records say as long as the Sadducees ran the temple, they're only starting the year of the equinox. And even the Jewish writings say only after Hillel's calendar in the 4th century did they start keeping it before the equinox. And to be honest, one of the reasons they did it was, is at least what it's written in the records, is that the Jews were trying to keep the Passover around the same time as Easter, because that's the way the Catholics do it. They go closest to the equinox, and they were trying to do it around that same time. Over here is another one from the Talmud. It says, they blessed on the 23rd of Nisan, and thus the whole nation announced that the Tekufa of Aviv begins on the 23rd of Nisan. Therefore, Pesach of that year they celebrated in the winter, Tekufa, disobeying the positive, explicit, biblical commandment to keep the spring month. They also disobeyed the explicit words of Chazal, who said in Rosh Hashanah 21:1, Rav Hunter Bar Avin sent to Rabbah, if you see that the Tekufa of Tevat extends through the 16th of Nisan, intercalate this year, and do not hesitate, as it is written, you are to keep the month of spring. So right in their own writings, they admit, you know, where the changes come and where it comes after that. The other thing that's interesting when we're looking at this is that we're told in Scripture that, okay, in Exodus 23:14 it says, three times in a year you shall make a feast to me. Three times in a year. We know that from several places, Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year all your males shall appear before me, and you shall make a feast to me. And we know the word for feast in Hebrew is hag. You know, if you're talking about all the feasts, it's hagim in the plural. But this is not that word. It's the same root, but it's a little bit different. This is the word hagag that's used here. And the word hagag literally means to properly, to move in a circle that is specifically to march in a sacred procession to observe a festival. So it's very interesting. On Sunday, we're going to be going up to the original Gilgal. They only found this place a few years ago. And it's amazing to see it, because they would have never thought that the original Gilgal that Joshua put there in the rocks and the altar was in the shape of a sandal. But like the scripture says, every place the sole of your foot puts shall be yours. So the ancient Israelites were very, very literal, you know, the way that they should. And the way they looked at Yahweh is, they looked at Yahweh, everything with Yahweh, as a circular pattern. Because Yahweh has no beginning and no end, and that's the way a circle is. So when they would do their procession, and from this scripture here, that you shall have a hagag, that's what they would do in the foot of the sandal, and we're going to do it. We're going to hagag in that sandal. They would go around in a procession in a circle. One year we brought the Ark of the Covenant up. See, you didn't know we knew where the Ark of the Covenant was. Somebody brought a replica of the Ark of the Covenant to us. We didn't know what to do with it. We put it in the closet, and then we said, hey, we're going to Gilgal. Let's take the Ark of the Covenant. And we hagagged in the circle with the Ark of the Covenant. It was a great, great, great time doing it. But literally, that's the way these people think, that everything is a circular pattern. And it comes because Yahweh looks at the land from beginning of the year to the end of the year, from equinox to equinox. It's a very simple pattern. Like I said, anybody could understand it. It doesn't matter where you live. It's just a simple pattern that Yahweh says. And like I said, we talked already about the 12 constellations of the Maseroth, and also Josephus. I'll give you the direct quote here. In War of the Jews, Josephus says, now the year can start because the sun is in Aries. Also in the historian Philo, he says that they were also created to serve, talking about the constellations, as measures of time, for it is the appointed periodical revolutions of the sun and the moon and the other stars that days and months and years are determined. Moses put down the beginning of the vernal equinox as the first month of the year. This comes from Philo on Moses 2.222. So again, this is somebody who's there in the first century, the days of Yeshua, and his record is saying the same thing. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but in the first century, he's saying that Moses said, this is the way that we should be doing it. Clearly, the ancient record tells us that the ancient Israelites understood the circular pattern of the heavenly bodies and how it was connected to worship toward Yahweh each cycle of every year. They also understood the plan of salvation told through the 12 constellations of the Maseroth that represents the 12 tribes of Israel, and for another time, but also the birth, death, and resurrection of Yeshua Messiah. In order to understand the biblical calendar, one must understand the circular pattern of worship at feast time due to both the holy days being connected to the yearly cyclical pattern of the agricultural cycle and the circular pattern of the heavenly luminaries of the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's always been understood from biblical times that the equinox is the dividing point of the year and the dividing point of the growing cycle. So, like I said, it's pretty simple. The last thing I'll mention, and maybe we'll just go over, we have a little bit of time, we'll go over if there's any questions, but that most people don't know is, like I said, the postponement rules. That if you're going by the Jewish calendar, and I did for many years when I was in the Church of God, we talked about it before, they just give you this little card. You know, when the holy days, I don't know, when they give us the card, I'll tell you. That's the way I thought it was. I didn't know if these cards were being printed in heaven, you know, or being... All I knew is that little card had the holy day, so it had to be. The card said it. It can't be wrong. But then you come out of there and you start finding out, you know, and you start looking into these things. But the modern Jewish calendar literally has four postponement rules. And these are them. If the Tishri Molad, and remember, they're going by the seventh month and they're counting back, which doesn't make sense to begin with. So if the Molad, meaning the conjunction, if it falls on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or a Friday, then postpone it one day. Why not, right? If the Tishri Molad occurs after 18 hours, then Tishri Molad is postponed one day. If this causes the Tishri Molad to fall, though, on the 1st, the 4th, or the 6th, then postpone it 2 days. If the Tishri Molad of an ordinary year of 12 months falls on day 3, Tuesday, at or after 9 o'clock, 9 hours, which is about 3:11 a.m., they say, the Tishri 1 is postponed 2 days to day 5, therefore satisfying the postponement rule of A. And if the first Molad, Tishri Molad, following the leap year, falls on day 2 on a Monday, or after 15 hours, about 9:32 a.m., then Tishri 1 is postponed to day 3, to Tuesday. So again, you know, if Yahweh didn't want, because they don't want Yom Kippur to fall on a Friday or a Sunday, and also the seventh day of Sukkot, they came up with this ceremony that they waved the lulav on the seventh day of Sukkot. But yet, if the seventh day of Sukkot falls on a Sabbath, waving the lulav would be work. So now, what do I do here? I got this man-made law of waving this lulav, but it would break the Sabbath. Hey, we'll just postpone the Sabbath. That'll work. You would think they just wouldn't waive the man-made law. But it's not the way they think. And like I say, you have to... When you come here, you understand, and nothing against our brother Judah, but their highest priority is not the Torah. Years ago, when we first got here, I was all excited because it was Yom Teruah. And what does Yom Teruah say? Go and blow the trumpet. And it happened to be on a Shabbat. So I had my shofar, I went to the Wailing Wall, and I was going to blow it. And wow, when I started blowing that trumpet, there was about 9 rabbis that came at me. No. What's the problem? It's Yom Teruah. Yes, it's Yom Teruah. It says Yom Teruah. Blow the trumpet. Yes, it says blow the trumpet. I'm going to blow the trumpet. No. Why not? Because it's work to carry your trumpet. Not for me. It's a little trumpet. No. It's work to carry your trumpet. Well, when are you going to blow the trumpet? We're going to blow it tomorrow. But tomorrow isn't Yom Teruah. No, but that's our tradition. So you're going to break the word of Yahweh to keep your tradition. Yes. Yes, that's exactly the way it happened. And it happens all the time like that. So again, it's fine, you know. Catholics have tradition, Greek Orthodox have tradition, Jews have tradition, but we want to be the people of the book. We want to be the Bereans. We want to go back and see how did Yahweh put these things together. And if we really want to do that, then we have to, you know, of course, you can take history as I'm reading here to see how it was done. It doesn't mean it's right, but at least we can prove this is the way it was done in the days of Yeshua, but the Bible very clearly tells us it's the sun, the moon, and the stars that are for days and for months and for years. And clearly, you cannot keep your holy days until after the harvest is in and after the Tekufa, the circuit of the sun, the equinox. You know, and again, if you start the year before the vernal equinox, you're going to start your Sukkot before the autumn equinox, and you're not going to have the full harvest from it. So it's very simple. We have some of these papers downstairs, the start of the year in the biblical calendar. We have the biblical calendar book that's here. You're welcome to take them. Everything is a gift to you, so feel free for that. But like I said, you really don't have to create the wheel. It really is a very simple way, all of it. You'll see tomorrow night when we're going over the start of the day. I have scripture after scripture after scripture clearly proving the day starts at sunset. Even like we're reading here, the same thing. During the Elephantine letters, not only was every letter double dated and it never started before the vernal equinox, it also says that every letter states that the day starts at sunset, not sunrise. And these are people that are right there, right after the destruction of the first temple. So I'm going to stop there. If there's any questions, we can go over some questions if there are any, and then we will let you get some sleep. Yes, Elder Mattai.
Yes, we were also asking about the addition of the 10-month calendar. They have got a problem. How do you count sometimes with it? Another one, another two.
Yes, okay, he's talking about the intercalatory month. Because if you're going by the moon calendar, according to scripture, the moon is for months, right? The moon cycle today is only 29 and a half days. Now, there's reason to believe that before it was different. Even scientists believe somewhere around 701 BC that maybe the Earth changed a little bit and went from a 30-day cycle to 29 and a half-day cycle. What happened at that time, very interesting, was Hezekiah's long day. You know, so did that change it? We don't know. But all we know is the cycle is, on average, 29 and a half days, which means 12 months of a lunar calendar is 354 days. 12 months of a solar calendar is 365 days, like we know, and every fourth year we add a leap year. So in the biblical calendar, you have to add a month. Now, in the Jewish calendar, they intercalate it, which means they automatically do it. The calendar, it's like the 1st, the 3rd, the 7th, the 9th, the 11th, the 14th. It's a 19-year time cycle that the moon goes by. And they automatically intercalate the years before it happens. Why? I don't know. Probably because of the diaspora. For us, it's very simple. If you get to the 12th month, right, and the next month comes and it's before the equinox, you wait a month. You know, because you can't start the year in the winter. So if it's still winter when the 13th month comes, you wait a month. If the equinox happens, you start the new year. It's so simple. There's not anything else you need. If you're looking in the way they intercalate, I don't even understand it. I really can't. It's a lot of different information that they do that doesn't make sense. But that's a very, very simple way of doing it. It's about every 3 years, 3 to 4 years that you have to do it. But like I said, after the 12th month is over, if the new moon is coming and the it's still winter, then you cannot start Aviv, which means new ripe in winter of the old. So that's the very, very simple way to do it. Any other questions? Yes, Michael?
Psalm 81:3, some translations I've seen this mistranslation. Why do they do this? Low grain corn, family, at the full moon on the customer.
Yes, let's go there. It's very good. Psalm 81:3. Psalm 81:3, and we have, blow the ram's horn on the new moon, on the covered moon, on our feast day. Some translations, as Brother Michael said, has blow the ram's horn on the new moon, on the full moon. Now, interesting enough, Any way you look at this, it proves the month has to start conjunction. Because when I was talking to our anti-missionary friend that I'm not going to name for various reasons, who goes by the Crescent Sighting, and I wanted to find out, maybe I'm wrong, let me go. So we went to the scripture, and he said, that the people, they misinterpret this. He said, if you look in Hebrew syntax, this is talking about opposites, you know, like black-white, you know, male-female. So when he said that, I said, okay, so blow the ram's horn in the new moon on the full moon. If the new moon is the opposite of the full moon, it has to be conjunction. Because like I said, if you're going by crescent sighting, the crescent can be anywhere from 6 to 70 hours into the moon cycle. So you will never, if you're going by a crescent, you'll virtually never have your holy day on the full moon. And we've done it for years. You know, it just doesn't work out that way. So when I said that to him, well, you proved to me it's got to be the conjunction. He said, no, you can't take it that way. I said, you told me to take it that way. Why not? But then when we studied into it deeper, we found out it should not be full moon. That the word is kese, and you could look the word up, but kese literally means fully covered. And the reason why some translations like King James put full moon, they said it's fully covered with light. But that's not the meaning of it. And like I said, literally, like the lid on it, if you look, because like in Hebrew, when you look at a word and it has a root word, you look at all the words that come from kese, they all have to do with darkness. You know? So, looking at it that way, blow the ram's horn on the new moon, on the covered moon on our feast day, it's even more strong. Either way, it proves a conjunction, but this way even proves it more, because it's the new moon at the covered moon.
What about if somebody said, well, the Yom Teruah is really not a feast
day? It's really not a feast day?
There's three feasts. Passover and
Shavuot. Okay, I see what you're saying. The season, you know, the three seasons are Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Well, what I would say is number one, if you look into Jewish history, certainly. As a matter of fact, we had a rabbi write us an article on this verse. Because, you know, he's a linguist. He teaches with us and he's a linguist. And because of what kese means. But I really wouldn't take that because, like he said, in the article he proves, throughout antiquity, going all the way back before even the times of Yeshua, every rabbinical writing says that this is talking about Yom Teruah. So the only new moon that is a holy day is Yom Teruah. So I don't know how anybody else... I mean, there are years that maybe the first day of Sukkot can be a Sabbath and also... but traditionally, every year, if it says both the ram's horn in the new moon, the only new moon holy day is Yom Teruah. There is no other new moon holiday at all. Because if you look in the Bible, you have... Pesach is the 14th day of the first month. Unleavened bread is 15th to 21st of the first month. Shavuot, you have to count because it's not a specific day, right? But you have to count seven full Sabbaths after bringing in the wave sheaf. And then the morrow after the seventh Sabbath is Shavuot. And then you get to the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month is Yom Teruah. The tenth day of the seventh month is Yom Kippur, or the ninth day of the month at evening till the tenth day at evening. And then the 15th day of the month to the 21st day of the month is Sukkot. So, it's kind of a weak argument because, like I said, over here it's clearly saying the new moon is the covered moon on your feast day and the only new moon feast day. Because the new moon, it is set apart, but it's not a feast. You know, and so it could be talking about every new moon. You know, it's talking about specifically the new moon of Yom Teruah. Any other questions? Elder Harrison?
Yes, I wanted to know whether the conjunction always comes during the night.
Conjunction?
Conjunction, yes.
No. The conjunction is very interesting because the cycle is 29 and a half days, the conjunction is different every month somewhere on the earth. Somewhere on the earth, it's sunset at conjunction time, right? Because there's, as the earth moves, it's Wherever you are, there's like right now, it's sunset somewhere. In 2 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be sunset somewhere. It just depends on where you are and how many hours you're away from that. So the conjunction can happen anytime. You know, the conjunction is when the sun, the moon, the stars are lining up. You know, which seems to be, you would make at the beginning of the month, the lining up of them, you know, not when they're off. And the interesting part is, and it's a good question that some people brought up. Well, Genesis says it's the lights in the firmament. How can you go by conjunction, right? But you want to know something? Because the moon and the sun and the earth are not exactly the same size, and it's a miracle of Yahweh that it's the moon is 400 times away from the earth, and then the sun is 400 times the size of the earth. But the way, how far they are in the size of them can make where you can have an eclipse or a conjunction. Right? So if they weren't that far apart, you would never be able to have that. But it's not a pure conjunction. We just can't see it with our eyes. But there is light there. There's always light that you're going to see. And that's what's interesting. When you look at Hebrews 11, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Do I need to see a crescent to know the moon started? No. But there still is light there. If you had a telescope that was strong enough, you could actually see the light. So it's, you're still going by the lights of the firmament, you know, the moon and the sun, right? But it's at the time of restarting. It's when they're all together in that one line. And that can happen, like I said, at any time. And then it's very simple. What is the precedent that we said? You can't start time until the other time is ended. So if conjunction, let's say today is the last day of the month, and the conjunction was 4:30 in the afternoon, you simply just wait for sunset, and at sunset that starts the new month. But the conjunction could be any time. And some people say, well, how do you know? What if you're in the, you know? It's so easy to know conjunction, because what you see is as the conjunction is getting ready to happen, the moon and the sun are coming together, and you could look out there early in the morning, and you could see how far apart they are. And if you put your fingers like that, and you see how far apart the sun and the moon are, for every inch about that it is, it's about an hour to a conjunction. So even though if you know the 19-year time cycle, it repeats itself. So once you know one time cycle, and if you put that all down and recorded it, you know every time cycle from past or future. But if you're just starting the first time and you went out there, you could literally know, anybody could know it. So which shows it has to be something that everybody on earth can do. You know, it has to be. And that's what I say, people that go by crescent sighting, my question to them is, okay, there's two ways then. Do you go by local sighting in your area? Or do you go by Jerusalem time? Because that's the next question that comes up. Now, I used to cite a crescent. When I first studied the calendar, that's what we were doing. And I had a congregation in Pennsylvania. I had a congregation in New Jersey. The new moon came right at the time of the equinox. The people in New Jersey saw it the day before the equinox. The people in Pennsylvania saw it the day after the equinox. And two congregations an hour apart kept the feast a month different. And I said, something's wrong here. This just doesn't make any sense. So if you take a local sighting, you could actually have up to three different holy days. So there's no way you could do local sighting, because there's only one day of holy time. Now, if you go by Jerusalem time, right? This is my next question. Is Passover for all time? Of course it is, right? Yeshua said you are to keep the Passover from year to year. Matter of fact, the Passover is so important. If you're a baptized person and you miss the Passover, you're cut off. You're cut off from the covenant. So my question is, if you're sighting a crescent from Jerusalem before the last 50 or 100 years with cell phones on, how would you know when they saw the crescent here? How could you keep Passover? How could you keep the first month of Aviv, and then how can you count the 14 days of Passover? It's impossible. So Yahweh knows the beginning of the end. He knew we were going to be in diaspora, and he had to put a calendar that anybody can calculate from anywhere in the world. And that's the point. You know, when you look at the biblical calendar, anybody can calculate it. It doesn't matter where you are on earth, you can know the time of conjunction, and you can know the time of the equinox. So you can know the beginning of the year, and you can know the beginning of every month. And then, like I said, if you just calculate it yourself, it's going to repeat itself. So it's such a simple, logical way of doing it. And that's what I do, you know. Again, I'm always willing to listen. So if someone has a different view, I ask them questions, just like I'm telling you, ask me questions. By asking better questions, we come up with better answers. And again, coming up from Church of God, I never studied the calendar. I went by the little card. When I came out of there, I was taught the crescent is what you're supposed to do. I was going by the question. But people started asking me better questions that I couldn't answer. So I would much rather change to what's correct, where I can answer the questions, than hold on to the things I can. I think that's the problem. I have some very good friends of mine who are